Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 44. In all seriousness, Pastor preached a message, and I was talking to Brother Levi this morning. In all seriousness, on yesterday, Pastor preached a message. And you know the messages he preaches about the invisible creation. Everybody's, you know, he's preached that several times. Everybody understands that. Well, he brought it down to teen level and just went through some stuff that teenagers go through and teenagers fight that that is a result of the invisible creation, okay? And there are things, and there's things that you struggle with and I struggle with that is a result of the invisible creation. And not demonic possession, but demonic oppression. And I'm not trying to be spooky, and some of you aren't going to believe me, and that's fine, okay? But you sit in that, if you're in tune with God and with and have somewhat of an understanding of that, you the spirit in that service yesterday, there was a literal heaviness in that service. And honestly, all the stuff that's happened, you know, I even think all this goldfish stuff, you know, as crazy as that sounds, why would I have over 300 goldfish for no apparent reason just die? Okay? Now, I just want to say all that to say that I think God's wanting to do something this morning. So be in prayer for your preacher. I know yesterday he was struggling. It was, you know, Jeremiah said he sets his face like a flint and not afraid of their faces. I mean, there were people that did not like what preacher said yesterday. And it wasn't the people. We don't fight against flesh and blood. It wasn't the people, it was who was saying things to those people. So be in prayer for your pastor. He was discouraged yesterday, I think. After all that, you know, he had two people saying amen out of the whole however many people were there, you know. And that's discouraging when you're teaching truth. So be in prayer for your pastor this morning. I know that he can definitely use that. And seriously, and in all seriousness, I'm not... You know, it's kind of funny about the whole goldfish thing. I mean, you know, I don't really care. It's goldfish. I just, you know, kept the septic grinder busy for half an hour or whatever, grinding goldfish up, I guess. But, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, the devil would like nothing else to make something that the Church of God has planned to be a blessing to kids to not work. And, you know, kids are upset and, you know, people are upset. So be in prayer about that, okay? Seriously, this is, like I said, this is the praying class right here. So as we go through stuff this morning, be in prayer for all that. Rachel, can you go down to my office? And there's some sticks, like paint sticks. Can you get me two of them, please? On the floor. That was those were the sticks that I used to prop the filtration system up for the goldfish. It was interesting. You should have seen it. All right. Isaiah chapter number 44. Sorry, kind of preliminary stuff. All right. Isaiah 44, verse number. We're going to start in verse number 10. I'm sorry, verse number 9. Isaiah 44, verse number 9. Bible says, "They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. Together, the smith with the tongs both worketh in the coals and fashioneth it with hammers and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes and he marketh it out with a compass. and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He heweth him down cedars, and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god, and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image, and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh, he roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, Aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes, they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and I shall make the residue thereof an abomination. Shall I fall down to the stalk of a tree? He feedeth on ashes, a deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, Is there not a lie in my right hand? Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. And then in verse 22, if you remember, we talked about this not too long ago. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Let's pray this morning. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for loving us. God, we thank you just for the blessings that you give us each and every day. Lord, thank you that the sun came up this morning, and we just know that you're in control of everything. And Lord, we love you. And thank you for just loving us. Help us as we look at this thought this morning and just guide us and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. How many's ever heard this? The sun's coming up in the morning. I've been singing that song all morning, sorry. All right. We just read, basically, I don't know how to say this. We read, basically, God reasoning with man, okay? And he says, all right, he basically goes and he tells the stupidity of man here, all right? And he talks about, okay, you're going to go out in the woods, all right? We're going to go out in the woods. Let's cut a tree down. And we're going to use part of this tree. We're going to use part of it to throw in our wood stove to heat us, to warm us for the winter, okay? So that's what part of the tree's for. We're going to take part of the tree and we're going to throw it in another stove to heat, and we're going to bake bread and eat the bread. And then we got this little chunk of wood over here, and we're not sure what to do with this chunk of wood. So we take it and we decide that we're going to make a god out of this wood. The same wood that we threw in the fire to, you know, warm yourself, and the same wood that you threw in the fire to cook bread. I'm decided I'm going to make me a god out of this chunk of wood. And so the Bible talks about the smith and his tongs and the carpenter, and he stretched out a line and he makes an image. Now, whatever that image might be, we don't know, all right? But he makes an image, and then he decides that I'm going to worship this image. I want to talk just a little bit this morning, and I don't know how to make you picture what my title is, but it's God, okay? So if you put the words in your brain, okay? God, hyphen, who is carrying who? Who is carrying who? Now, that may not make sense, but if you write it down, put God, hyphen, who is carrying who? Now, there's several places in Isaiah where this talks about this, and the children of Israel, they had a big problem with this. And honestly, folks, Christians today, myself included, sometimes we have a problem with this. We want to make a god. Now, Brother Chad, I've never carved a graven image. No. But we make things God in our lives. We make things God in our lives. And then we want to carry those things around with us. Well, folks, I'm sorry, but I would rather have a God that carries me than to have a God that I carry. So that's what I'm saying. God, hyphen, who is carrying who? Do you have a God that you carry? Or do you have a God that carries you? Well, personally, if I'm going to have a God, I may not be able to see my God, but I know that when troubles come and when trials come, that my God will carry me. Not a God that I can carry around, that I can stick in my pocket, that is the same God that maybe I took a piece of wood out and burnt in my fire. Oh, how big of a God is that? If the same God that you made something out of is something that you can carry around, that you can stick it. It's not a genie in a bottle that you carry around, and when you need something, you rub the bottle and the genie comes out and asks you for your request. That's not who God is. At least that's not my God. I serve a bigger God than that. I brought two sticks this morning, and I actually was working on this last night, and I forgot the actual one I was working on in all whatever was going on. So I had more paint sticks, so I just had my wife get me some more paint sticks. All right, so we got two paint sticks here. Now, as silly as this sounds, you know there are people that worship nothing more than two paint sticks? Brother Chad, what are you talking about? Well, I could take two paint sticks and I can do something like this. What is that? Cross. Does that ring in a bell? You know, a guy walking around with a necklace that's got a cross on it, and he blesses people. And you know what they're doing? They're not worshiping. Hey, listen, am I thankful for the cross?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Amen.
But the cross was simply a tool. Listen, folks, the cross did not save me. That cross is rotted and in the ground someplace. That cross did not save me. Did it? Oh, Brother Chad. No, the cross did not save. The man on the cross, the Son of God, is the one that saved me. That cross was a piece of timber. Okay? And you know what some people do? They want to worship the cross and not the one on the cross. Okay? They want to worship Mary, not the son of Mary, who was also the Savior of Mary. They want to worship, let's go back to the children of Israel. They want to worship the serpent that Moses, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Remember what Jesus said? Remember how Moses lifted the serpent up? And he said, if you'll look at that serpent, you can be saved. Well, then what did the children of Israel want to do? They wanted to worship the serpent, not the one that actually saved them. You know what, folks? So many times I'm afraid that we get things in our... And, you know, you're all Baptists, okay? We don't believe in worshiping Mary, and we don't believe in, you know... this is kind of a silly illustration. But listen, folks, this is two pieces of wood. I don't serve two pieces of wood. I serve the Creator who made the tree that gave me the two pieces of wood. Does that make sense about the stupidity of people that would worship a little graven image? You know, I thought about preaching about Dagon this morning. Who was Dagon? He was the fish god. Sorry, I just... He was. He's the fish god. He had the head of a fish, and I think it was the head of a fish and the body of a man, or the body of a fish and the head of a man. He was a Philistine's god. But you know what happened? What happened when the Ark of the Covenant, when they took the Ark of the Covenant and the Philistines captured it and they took it into the temple of Dagon? What happened to him? He fell over. He fell over and worshipped, if you would, the true God. The fish god. That's right. But you know what? Listen. It's a piece of wood. It's a piece of wood. Hindu. You know, Baal. If I could have found one, I would have brought one of them little... What are those guys? Buddha. Yeah, Buddha. Those fat guys, you know. I would have brought one and set it right there. But you know what? Listen. What are you worshiping? Well, it's easy to laugh about people worshiping Buddha, and it's easy to laugh about people worshiping, you know, a cross, and it's easy to laugh about that stuff, but let's bring it back down to home. What are the works of your hands that you're worshiping? Because that's what it's talking about. These are the things that I'm doing that, remember, whoever controls your life is really your God. So we could say that money, and this is where it really probably comes down to Christians in today's society. You know, money, the things that we make with our hands, so often control our lives. Well, Brother Chad, people shouldn't worship two sticks. People shouldn't worship something that a graven image that they made. That's true. But people also shouldn't worship a house. People shouldn't worship a job. I wonder how many people aren't in church this morning because of a job. Is it because that they've something that they have created with their hands has become more important to them than God? It's funny when we talk about people worshiping a cross and falling down, and oh, that's silly, Brother Chad. It's two pieces of wood. It's just money, people. It's just a car. What are we worshiping? Does God, do you have to take care of your God? Do you have to take care of your God? Well, I got to go take care, you know. What was the story of the parable that Jesus told? If he told about the story of a man that went out and invited people to a feast, and the one man said, well, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go see it. He had to go take care of his God. Well, I'll get to that one in a second. I bought a yoke of oxen. I must needs go prove them. He had to go take care of his God. Now, I don't have oxen, but I like equipment, which is the same thing as biblical oxen. But is that my God? Well, I can't go to church today because I got to go run equipment. I got to go work. That's what he was doing. He was going to prove his oxen. He was going to go work his oxen. Well, I can't go to church today. I'm going over to Redbird to go riding. I got to go prove my new side-by-side out. Try it out. You got to take care of your God? Do you have to take care of him? Well, I've married a wife. And I cannot come. Now listen, I'm thankful for my wife, but my wife's not my God. Now I take care of my wife. You know, I do take care of my wife. But she's not my God. If my wife, and I've told her this and she knows this, if my wife ever decides that she doesn't want to serve God, that does not, and maybe this sounds really harsh, but I've already made it up in my mind, so I guess that I've already come to that place. I'm not compromising my service to God if she decides that she would never want to serve God with me. She can go do what she wants. You compromise. We were playing kickball. Oh, irritating me. Anyway, we were playing kickball on Friday night. Glow in the dark kickball. Okay, if you've never done it, you're really well. I would suggest you guys doing it. There's obstacles that you sometimes just do not see, okay? And the grass is wet, and it's just not real healthy for sometimes running around bases. But there was a young man on my team. His name was Jordan. And we were playing, and he was having the time of his life. This goes along with the whole wife thing. He was probably 14, maybe. And there was this girl sitting over on the sideline. And she's like, Jordan, are you almost done? Jordan, is this the last inning? Jordan, can you come over here? And I finally got sick and tired of it. Okay? Now, I don't know Jordan, so I don't really have anything to lose here. you know? I don't know her, but just based on what she was dressed like and her personality, you know, not Jordan's having a good time. Jordan's having, you know, he's the typical guy that just wants to go out and have fun, okay? And that's the time that he should have been. You know what she wanted him to do? I guarantee it was not a Bible study, okay? She wanted him to come take care of her. And he's 14, 15 years old. So, being the very polite, kind person that I am, I said, Jordan is busy at the moment. I really was. I was polite. I was nice. And I said to Jordan, no, I wasn't. I just said it out loud so everybody could hear me. I don't care. I said, who's controlling your life, Jordan? If she controls your life now, she'll control your life your whole life. You know what he did? I don't know. Maybe he would have done it anyway. But he kept playing kickball. And she got mad about it. I mean, she, like, literally, hissy fit mad about this. You want to live with that the rest of your life? Not me. Not me. I've seen it over and over again. And this really has nothing to do with the lesson, I guess. But, guys, if you compromise... And I'm not just saying this, my wife is, as Pastor Ross said, my wife is the neck that turns the head. I may be the head of the house, but it's not like I don't listen to my wife, okay? But you compromise and it's downhill fast. If you don't like that, that's fine. But I've seen it happen. I've had friends that they compromised their church attendance. Listen. And because they compromised their church attendance, they're no longer in church. But listen to this. They no longer have their kids. He no longer has his wife. At what point are you going to say, you're not my God? Listen, you're not my God. If a man's not willing to leave his father, mother, he is not worthy to be my disciple, paraphrased. Okay? So, are you taking care of your God? Are you taking care of your God? Well, I got to go take care of this. I can't come to soul winning because I got to go take care of, I can't help because I have to take care of. Or do you serve a God that takes care of you? Oh, sure, I can come help with that. Why wouldn't I? That's something God wants me to do, and God takes care of me. Okay? Isaiah chapter 40. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 40. Does God take care of you, or do you take care of your God? To me, that's the distinguishing factor there. Does God take care of you, or do you take care of your God? I'm glad I serve a God that He takes care of me. Amen. Isaiah 40 verse 11. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm. We read this before. And carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. God will take care of you, the songwriter said. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. All right? Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23. Everybody knows this. Aren't you glad that the sheep doesn't have to take care of the shepherd? The sheep don't tell the shepherd where to go. The sheep just trusts in the shepherd. Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I just want to say, and we'll be done. I got a lot to do this morning. But I want, just as a thought, as you go through life, look at the things of life that we put so much time towards. Because time is life, and whatever you put towards as far as time is who you serve with your life. So look towards your life, look at your life, and what do you serve? Is it something that you're making with your hands? Is it? You have to examine your life. I have to examine my life. I'm not here to judge, but I thought that was pretty good that God said, you know, God brought down the corollary of, yeah, I can take these and I can go mix paint with them. Why would I make something, you know, why would I make a God out of that? As silly as that sounds, we do the same thing, just in a different way. Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. But before that it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. What's the two great commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm not going to go into all that. But who's carrying who? God, who is carrying who? Are you carrying your God around? Or does God carry you? Just like a shepherd carries his lambs, God will take care of you. Psalms chapter 139, and we'll be done. I love this chapter. It's probably one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. I reference it quite often personally. I just want you to think about that tree. The illustration that God gave of the tree and making an idol out of a tree. But this is the God that I serve. Psalms 139 verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. All my ways. You know, that God that doesn't know anything. It's just a little statue that sits on the shelf and does nothing. And you got to carry it around. And you know what? At some point, mark my spot there. At some point, that God will become a burden to you. It'll become a burden to you. And it's so funny how often, you know, something that's important to you growing up, things that were important to me growing up, you know, at some point they sit on a shelf. You go to most churches that have a sports, I'm against most sports programs, so I'm just going to not lie about it. Go to churches that have a sports program. Now, I want to be careful here. We went down to Louisiana, okay? Now, I'm not totally against sports programs. But they had that flood, you know, down there. And those guys that went down with me, did you notice what was sitting behind the one building? There was a stack. There was a pile of trophies. Of trophies. You know how much time and effort went into those trophies? A lot of hard work. A lot of work of the hands. And it all got flooded. And they're all worthless. Those trophies that those boys spent hours and hours and hours, those girls spent hours and hours and hours practicing for. The works of their hands. Now, was that their God? I'm not one to judge. Maybe it was a very well-balanced sports program. I'm sure they went soul winning every week the same amount of time that they practiced their ball. In a flood and it's gone, those trophies. That thought when I drove around that building, and I'm serious, there's a spot this big. I mean, there's trophies this tall. There's trophies probably almost as tall as I was, or up to my chest. But what are they? Was that a God? I don't know. And like I said, I'm not one to judge. You're smart people. You can draw your own conclusions. But what about the souls that were saved on visitation? I didn't see any of those sitting around. Those are eternal. Those things last forever. They may have got hurt by a flood, but they keep on going. So, who is your God? Where was I? Verse 4. That was kind of a rabbit trail. Verse 5. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither can I go from thy spirit? I serve a big God. Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Isn't it a blessing that you can't forget God at home one day? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? You know, if I got these little flashlight, me and Dad both carry these now, little streamlight flashlight, size of a pocket knife, really pretty bright. And I carry a pocket knife with me. Now, if you guys don't carry a pocket knife, that's up to you, but I don't feel like I am a complete man without my pocket knife. I just don't. I mean, inevitably, I may not use my pocket knife for 4 days, but the one day I need it 20 times, for some reason I drop my pocket knife someplace. Okay? Well, I'm almost the same way with my flashlight. And you know what? I'm glad that, you know, I don't have to, well, this is my God that I made with my hands, and I got to make sure that wherever I go, he can fit there too. And I don't leave him laying on the nightstand when I leave in the morning. And I don't drop him and break him. What kind of God is that? What kind of God? I'm glad that when I wake up in the morning, God's right here. When I go to sleep at night, God's right here. If I ascend up to heaven, God's here. What did the Bible say? If I make my bed in hell, you know that's eternal security. You know why you can't go to hell is because God's right here. So if you went to hell, God would go with you. Hey, send me to hell. Send you to hell. Well, God's right there with me, so I don't, you know, if God can go there, then I go there with him. Take your little thing that you made with your hands. Whatever it is that is so important to you, go ahead, take it with you. Take it with you. But at some point, it's going to become a burden. And then anything that's a burden, you leave behind at some point. Food for thought. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for being a big God. Lord, thank you just for this lesson. Thank you, Lord, for in somewhat ways the humor of your practical wisdom here. Lord, help us just to look for things and be in tune with your spirit, Lord. Help me personally not to make things a God that should not be a God in my life. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all these good folks and their attentiveness this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.